Welcome to the ABCs of Horses, a Big Blend radio podcast featuring Christy Wood, a world champion horse trainer, a carded horse show judge, an equestrian expert, and an author. Welcome, everybody. We're excited for our third episode of the ABCs of Horses featuring Christy Wood. And we air this podcast every second Saturday here on Big Blend Radio. And we love this. You know, Christy's a world champion horse trainer, and she is also known for her books, Your Best Horse Show, A Guide to Managers and Exhibitors. There's the children's book also for adults called Ranger, the Little Horse with a Big Heart, and her latest, Hoofprints Across Time, A Trail Ride to Remember. And this really follows her adventures on the Appaloosa, with the Appaloosa Horse Club, where they do this 13-year progressive trail ride following the Chief Joseph Trail, which is the Nez Perce tribe. And Christy has been out trailing around the Pacific Northwest and into the West. She's been to Oregon and Idaho since the last podcast. And so her voice is a little scratchy, and I've got pollen scratchy voice. So anyway, we're going to do good for you today because we're going to talk about behavior. And here's the first thing about behavior. As a human being, show up. And so here she is. Welcome back, Christy.
Thank you, Lisa.
You've got great, good behavior.
It's great to be here. I just wish I had a better voice. So thank you, listeners, for tuning in and maybe turning up the volume just to make sure you can hear everything I say today.
Well, you're doing good. And how are the shows? I mean, I know you took your books. You did book signings, interviews. How were the shows?
Actually, these weren't shows. These were horse expos. So we started out up in Oregon, in Albany, Oregon, at the Northwest Horse Expo a few weeks ago. And then came home, caught our breath for a moment, and then went to Idaho, to the town called Napa, Idaho, and did the Idaho State Expo there, Horse Expo. It was wonderful, wonderful. I've probably talked to about 800 to 900 people in the last two expos, and that's why my voice is just a little bit muffled.
But it's great that you've, you know, out there talking about the Appaloosa horse and letting people know about, you know, these wonderful horses, you know, and also your book and the trail ride itself. And really, I'm also keeping the legacy alive for the Nez Perce and Chief Joseph. I think that's important. Last episode, we talked about the Appaloosa horse breed. And today, like I said, is behavior. So we follow the alphabet. So today is B, behavior. So behavior, it's about the horse's behavior and the human behavior, right? They
That's
have to
correct.
Emerge.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. And the horse is looking actually to you to be a leader. So they have a behavior that will be, you know, a little bit pushy and try to push some bounds if they don't know that you're the leader, because that's what they're really looking for. So we have boundaries. We have boundaries to keep us safe. And learning to read your horse and their mannerisms helps you a lot. But you do have to instill that there are personal space boundaries for you and your horse, especially leading, even when riding. But the horse is much more comfortable knowing those boundaries. That's really their comfort zone.
Mm. So, like, to me, these boundaries, like in training of other animals and some horses, it kind of goes back to like how you would train your kids, right? You potty train them. You teach them not to put the hand on the stove. And it's these kind of, it's care, it's love.
Right.
It's that tough love, right? But
yes.
Don't the horses, like, you know, training a dog right before we started recording, I was talking about a dog, and, you know, that the dogs need routine because it's safety for them. And it's a form of communication, which means, doesn't your relationship grow through that?
Oh, of course it does. It strengthens through that, those boundaries and that behavior, correct behavior.
Correct.
And again, yeah. Correct behavior. Horses are really very comfortable and they look for that. They really want to have some structure in their life. They like routine. So it's kind of like having a wild child, a five-year-old in the school for the very first time, and the parents at home for 5 years never told them no. They're going to have a hard time understanding structure. And that structure is important because it allows them to learn. And the same thing goes with a horse. That horse can learn and partner with you, and you want to look for harmony. But again, they're looking for a team leader. They're looking for a leader.
Mm. And so they're looking for a leader, but then as a leader, so let's take it to the human side again. Being, a mean boss doesn't always get your team to get your deadline done on time. You want to kind of
Right.
nurture as a leader. Isn't there a difference of, if say you've got a new horse, this is the beginning of your relationship. I always hear people, well, I'm the alpha and I need to do this. And no, it must listen to me this way. And I'm like, okay, you already sound like your ego is running everything. I understand the alpha thing, but like, isn't there a balance of, and also fakeness? Like, I think a horse knows when you're full of it.
Well, they also know when you're not full of it. So if you don't understand how to give your horse boundaries, that's when you end up with a horse walking all over you, pulling back at a hitching post, not behaving, and just literally pushing the boundaries so far that it becomes dangerous. So they can read that, and that's why, honestly, if you talk about a 5-year-old child, the horse has a brain, really, of a 5-year-old child, and again, they like that structure. Don't you feel that you can get more out of really much anybody, not just a 5-year-old child, with more kindness, with strict kindness, but kindness instead of being, bold and pushy and trying to muscle? You definitely never want to muscle a horse. The more you try to push and go beyond that kindness of trying to teach a horse something, you're going to teach resistance. So it's better to give time and patience. Patience is a big word, but peas down the line for our alphabet here. But horses will learn with patience and repetition and with kindness more than they will with someone being bossy.
No bossmanship. I call it the bossmanship. Yeah, because it doesn't work for anybody. I don't know where being bossy works anywhere. I mean, just the attitude, you don't, it's like, oh, we had this saying in South Africa, you're being ugly. And
Okay, well, that's
it would be
true.
like if someone's being bossy, you're just like, oh, that's a turn off. I don't really want to do anything for you now. I don't feel like we're a team. And even as a leader, you're still part of a team in a way. You're leading the team, but if your team feels that you are looking down on them and that you are the in you do need to be in control, but it's there's that's a weird it's a control thing,
Well,
isn't
if you
it?
look right, but if you also look at the horse, we're dealing with a horse that weighs 1,200 pounds on an average. We're dealing with a human being that weighs anywhere from 100 pounds to 150 pounds. So, excuse me, if you start trying to force a horse into something, it's going to get more difficult. Again, they will resist more, and it's going to get more difficult with basically them outweighing you. So why not ask them to comply with kindness, repetition, and patience? And when they get it, oh my gosh, the light bulb goes off in their head, and then they get it and they retain that for forever.
Yeah, and they get excited like humans do.
Right. So they're happy and they're comfortable, and and everything has become soft. I guess that's another word I'm looking for, is just a kindness and a softness in working with your horse instead of resistance.
Yeah, because and everybody learns at different on different everybody has something. I always bring it back to the human because that's what we all understand, human beings. And it's from my experience with horses and doing some training, not anywhere your level, right? It was all about patience. It was all about, okay, you're not getting it today, we'll try again tomorrow, and not losing your cool over it.
That's right.
Do you ever find with this whole conversation of behavior, which is really about leadership and also being able to read your horse? Sometimes a horse is scared. I mean, my horse was abused, and so it was I didn't abuse the horse. I rescued the horse, and it took some time, and that's really a hard thing. And you need to know when you go into that kind of relationship, what your relationship it you basically have invested in a world of patience because that's what it's going to take. But sometimes people purchase a horse and think, well, we're going to enter this, show, and we're going to do this and this and this, and maybe they get it home. I know we're going to get into that on another show about purchasing horses, but expecting something out of a horse, then you can see, you have to kind of read the behavior to understand, is this horse going to be a match for me personally? Do you know
Well,
what I
that's a
mean?
good,
It's
yes. That's a good lead in, because I was just thinking that how and I've dealt with some people recently that, gosh, we're all in the fast lane today, doing so much. And honestly, if you're going to take on a horse, and you're going to try to find the right horse, you need to spend some time observing them. You've got to learn their mannerisms, where they're comfortable, what makes them uncomfortable. But so many people come and they rush and they tie their horse up and they go through a quick grooming, and all of a sudden the horse is wondering, why is this person moving so fast? Is there some reason we should be moving quickly? And they get on alert. They're looking for possibly, is there a danger somewhere? So here's another statement I'd like to make to everybody, is that the horse reflects your energy. So if you're calm that day and you have time that day, spend that time getting to know your horse, even through grooming. Watch how they either relax their leg or they relax their head and their eyes. Is their head higher? Are they tense? Are they swishing their tail more? Something agitating them? So this is what you need to do, is invest time when you spend time with that horse, knowing I don't have to be by the clock, or if I have to be by the clock, then you've got an hour to an hour and a half to observe your horse. And you may even only just get through the grooming, maybe the lunging, just even saddling, and then watch your horse and spend some time with it. Don't be in a hurry. That gets people in a lot of trouble. The patience is very important.
And horses, and because when a horse goes on alert, they now they're going into survival mode, right?
Well, that's right. So again, here we talk about trying to muscle a horse or boss them around. Again, the more, and if you're doing that and they don't understand because you haven't had the time to teach them what you want, that's right. That's where the resistance actually becomes a survival mode. The more you push and the more you try to strengthen and use muscle to communicate with a horse, the more they're going to get in. I need to flee. I need to either fight and I need to resist, because that's how I'm going to survive.
Yeah, I've seen people out in a show, and there was actually one trainer, and Nancy and I were like, this Nancy got to judge her, and she crossed her off, like, you need to go to training. We didn't know you, otherwise we'd have called you, but you were an American, we were in South Africa. That would have been an expensive phone bill back in those days. But she I watch people kick their horses, like kick. And do the thing where they rein them in, and the horses start rearing up, and then they're like, go stop, go stop. And the horse is just sitting there going, what are you doing? Where do you want me to go? And I understand there's tricks and things like that you can do, and all of that. So if it's part of a showmanship, then that's something that shouldn't look like you're kicking the heck out of your horse or just grinding it on the. I mean, that woman, to this day, I'm like, you're trying to teach people and you have no patience. And she got off her horse and kicked it in the chest.
Oh,
And
good
Nancy and
grief.
I had to be held back from the bleachers running down to take her away from her horse,
Yeah.
because you do not kick a horse in the chest. And I'm
No.
like, you really want to train other people? This is why we have Christy on the show and not that lady, because I'm already getting riled up again. I'm like,
Well,
I could
yeah.
not believe it. You
So,
cannot do that. You can't.
well, no, and we have a lot of show stewards that are at horse shows that are basically policing that. If you see something like that, you really should go to the show manager and let them know that there's an issue, and they can go and handle that. It's very important, especially today. Gosh, we have so many animal rights people that are out there that would just love to close down all the horse shows, all the rodeos. So we've got to be careful what we do, and that's incorrect training, really. There's absolutely no reason for that. You can't lose your temper. The horse isn't going to understand, and it's not right. So you need to draw somebody's attention to that, if you're in that situation, some kind of an official at an event, to make
So
sure it
really
doesn't
it is
happen.
about patience and having that relationship, like you were saying, the behavior to even understand, like, just as we know, our friends and family and people, you can tell, like, someone you work with, oh, I can tell you're a little not feeling your normal bright, perky self today. What's going on? Are
Yeah.
you okay? Is that the same kind of thing also with your horse? You see your horse maybe not being all spunky, and that's, Understanding the behavior also could lead to their physical health.
Yes, well, not being not spunky. Yes, if your horse is not in its natural, glad to see food and happy to see you today, and its head is hanging and it's lethargic, then yes, you may have a medical issue you need to address. But the other side of that coin is that you have a horse with too much energy. So there's ways to remedy that. You go out and lunge your horse, or if you have a round pen, you put them in the round pen. You can turn your horse out if your horse has been stable and just stored a lot of energy. So there's different ways you have to learn to read their energy, and then there's safe ways to help that horse exercise. It's like doing calisthenics. You need to warm up for the day. Let's go ahead and stretch our muscles and get the friskiness out of our mind and let them play on the lunge line. That's what you want to do before you get on your horse. So those are things, again, you need to read. You need to understand horse behavior.
So horses are an investment in time and money and patience.
Yes. All of the above.
It is important, you know. I mean, and I'm not trying to put people off of horses, but it is, I think it's, you know, we're the caregivers of them. You know, and so we've got to also remember that, right? That we're their caregivers. And so there's a relationship to nurture and understand. And when you go into any kind of competing, that's important. But all of this boils down to with the behavior about the safety for the animal and the safety for you, period.
That's correct.
Yeah. Going with what you do with trail riding, I mean, doing the Chief Joseph trail ride. You're doing 10 days out on trails that are in some of the most spectacular country in the country, I mean, in the world, right? I mean,
Yes.
incredible, but also treacherous. It's dangerous parts of these trails. You've told me stories like, seriously, this part is like your horse better be ready for it, and you. And so you also, when you go through those moments, and I've done it with like in my horse going, like having to cross certain rivers and knowing, oh, she's going to see this over here and it's going to spook her. Actually, everything spooked her. But so you had to learn how to deal with the spooks and have a relationship to handle the spooks
All right,
that, you know, something
you
would spook
want
her out. I
to,
don't mean that negatively. There's a bad word for that, and that's not what I meant. I mean, it'd freak her out. And she had real issues, but we did really work through it. And I think that's my whole horse life is really about helping her to move forward. And if we didn't have a relationship and I didn't understand her, like I knew if she twitched this way, oh, this is happening. That's how, like, every movement I could read her body to know, oh, you're going to possibly get thrown now. So you better change your body position because you can't fight it and be dragged.
Well, you know, that's really wonderful, Lisa. You're talking about a partnership, and you did a great job in reading your horse and knowing, again, the little trigger points of her attention or how she was moving maybe a little sideways before she approached the water crossing. And so if you know your horse well enough, you can prepare for that. If you prepare for safety, yes, to help guide your horse through that issue. So that's why you need to spend time getting to know them and exposing them actually to a lot of different elements that are out there for us, especially for trail riding. My gosh, there's just so much. If everybody reads my new book, Hoofprints Across Time, you're gonna gasp a couple of times during that through that book, because we got ourselves in some interesting situations. But that's what it's like riding out in nature, especially on the historic Nez Perce Trail. And it's not a walk through the park. So you need a good partnership with your horse. You both need to understand how you're going to react. Your horse needs to know, oh my gosh, if I do react and something frightens me, oh my gosh, my rider's telling me it's okay. And then they learn to relax. They feel you relax. You need to learn how to breathe through situations like that and not get yourself tense and create a worse situation.
Oh, I love that you said that because you understand. Like, you know, Nancy and I, as we travel the country, I've been through some really crazy stuff and driving in hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards, ice storms,
Oh my
flooding,
gosh.
you name it. Just, you know, whatever. We haven't done a tsunami, and I'm going to put the word yet there because it's
Oh my
probably, you know,
gosh.
whatnot, you never, I don't want it. I'm not inviting it. Thank you very much. But she knows by, like, if, let me put it this way. When Nancy and Lisa go silent for like a full 2 minutes, uh-oh. then you know we're focused on like, uh-oh. But if I start, my mouth gets a little loud in colorful language, I'm working it through. So everybody
Good
knows,
girl.
we all know each other. This is the reality. But it's the same thing. I can, like, when you have a really solid relationship, like Nancy can be in another room in a house, and I already know, I can feel it. I don't know, I can't explain when you can't even see somebody, but you can already feel the energy in a different room of what's going on. That's weird, but we are like that. And animals too. You can feel, I know that's a little woo-woo,
It's
but
not.
there's a
It's not.
body language that
Yeah,
comes from this.
exactly. Let me tell you a quick little story. So I've been on the road almost 6 weeks. My horses have, and we've had some bad weather, and my horses just haven't been ridden. And the wonderful horse named Buckley that I ride now on the Chief
Oh.
Joe, he's a world champion show horse as well, that I ride on the Chief Joe, has a nice big pen. He's got plenty of room to run, and he does. He loves to play with the horses next to him. He's got plenty of room to move. But I got him out the other day. He was quiet, which surprised me. I thought he'd have more energy. He was quiet and almost really glad. I could feel that horse being glad that we were next to each other again. And when I went to go groom him, he relaxed right away. When I went to go pick up his feet to clean them, he actually picked them up ahead of time, knowing what I was going to do, and he held them
Oh.
up, and he held them up in the air. So that's my horse usually doesn't do that. I have to go through the physically lifting the hoof and cleaning him. But this horse responded in such joy and gladness to be back together again. And then when I rode him, I was thinking about what my next cue I was going to ask him to do, and he already did it. So that's how connected I am with this horse, and I haven't been on his back in 6 weeks. And it was a joy to ride this horse again and just be next to him and actually realize that he appreciates me, and we have this wonderful harmony and relationship. It was just really, that actually happened yesterday. It was just such a great joy for me to spend time with him. And he was
That's
like, it was
the
great.
thing. You can look at, just even if you look at a, dogs, and they will tell you I'm happy, or
Oh, yes.
and when you're home, they're like, okay, I'll behave if you stay. It's almost that. I also hear that with your horse when you tell them about Buckley. It's like, okay, if I lift my foot, she'll stay another few days. I don't want you to go away again. That's love. That's
It really was.
appreciation,
Yes,
you know. And yeah, I was pathetic with Cinnabar. I mean, I went to a lot of different schools, and everybody started getting, when I was in, end of high school, my horse Cinnabar, articles, and whenever they had you had to write a story, I just was like, well, it's my horse Cinnabar again, and my horse Cinnabar, and I do have it. The original My Horse Cinnabar story in our storage unit. And for people who don't know, Nancy and I, my mom and I travel the country full time, so that's why it's in a storage unit. And it has a horse cover. When I go back to Tucson, Christy, I'm going to photograph that daytimer, that di di it's a journal, and it's oh, anyway, it's horsey.
Oh, that's
And I've
wonderful.
had it since I was a little girl. But that horse, I slept in the stable with her, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but it was a way of bonding. It was traumatic. Her life was traumatic, and it was scary to do, to be in each other's space in a closed space. But we learned from each other, and you can feel like when a horse puts their chin on you, and you can tell, like, when they, even in your hands, like even the donkey that we take care of, he'll come up on the shoulder and put his head there, and then lean. Then all of a sudden, they put their weight on you, like 100% weight, which is heavy. That is like you're one of us. That is, I don't know. When they do that, there's a trust.
There's
And to
a
me,
word for that. There's a word for that. It's
oh,
called comfort. You are
wow.
experiencing comfort, and your horse was experiencing comfort with you. What a great bond at that time. That's wonderful. And how
And
peaceful.
that's trust. That's
Right. It's
trust.
trust. Right.
Yeah. And even, and cleaning stables. It's so funny. As a kid, I didn't think that was a chore. I mean, it's a chore, but I like chores. So I'm weird.
Well, there's mannerisms at cleaning stables. Is your horse kind of messy? Does he spread it around, or does a horse always keep everything in one place for you?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Isn't that funny? They
that's just
do.
an interesting thing. It's just you learn that about your horse and how your horse's behavior.
And then,
Because
but
and
if
that's
you
important,
don't,
cleaning that stable and observing that. Didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's an important part of horse care. Because if that changes, all of a sudden the horse that keeps it all in one place and now moves it around,
something's up.
something's up. You got to know. You've got to try to figure out what's going on there. And then, of course, also we also look at the consistency. This sounds kind of great. We're going to talk about poo again,
Oh, I
but
love it.
it's really important to know what comes out the other end when you feed your horse to make that tells you how healthy your horse is.
I
You've got
do
to
it with
observe
dogs
it.
all the time. Like
Yeah.
the dogs I'm taking care of right now, they all have one has one corner of the yard, the other has one. And, at first I'm going around trying to pick it all up and realized they all have their sections.
Yeah, there you go.
And, but I like that because then I can go, did you have how, one? If you didn't have two a day and you didn't do it on your walk, okay, now what's up? What's
Yeah.
going on? Because they're changing food. And that's the other thing. If you don't know your horse's behavior and watch what's going on and you're changing food for dietary reasons or health reasons, that's important to
Yes.
know what's going on. And if you're, you, and to know how your horse is breathing, that's my thing, is always their breath is always telling me, like for me, any animal, horses and colic are, that should be our C word. Horses and colic freak me out, man. That's a freak. We should do that for C.
Well,
We should probably have something else.
colic covers a lot of things, a lot of unknowns as well. But there are symptoms, and you need to know the symptoms.
And
So we
it
get
should
into
go with
the.
you. And you need to know your horse to understand, right? A little bit. Like,
Gosh, yes. Yes.
oh, how much to understand a horse's behavior when someone gets involved in, I'm going to have a horse, and there's an expense. There is, are you going to stable it at your house? Are you stabling it somewhere else? How often are you going to see the horse? Who's taking care of your horse? Are you taking care of your horse? All of that. And so if you're not there, like our horses were on our property, so it was a little different. So we were all, like any five, I mean, like if I'm not at school, I'm with the horses, and then God help my homework. But when you get into having a horse, to everything we're talking about is getting to really have this relationship and being able to read their behavior and understand. But what if you're not with your horse all the time? Do you have to have like a communication with the person or people that are taking care of your horse for you so you can understand more?
Well, certainly when you go to look for a boarding facility, you need to
It's a
look at
B
the
word.
facility. B word. Look at the facility. Make sure it's an environment where your horse will be safe. People will be safe. You need to talk to the person who's going to be running that facility to make sure they're experienced enough in knowing all these issues that horses can have. Definitely wellness issues. Are the paddocks safe? And but then again, you need to also I don't know if you already have had the horse for a while and now you're moving it to a facility for other reasons. You definitely need to let the boarding stable manager know your horse's mannerisms. We have that on our used to have that on our boarding stable agreement, is writing down any behavior, any scars the horse may have. I mean, we really want to have a thorough background of that horse so that we, when we assume responsibility for its care, we could do it well.
So what we do, we always say, like, whatever animals we're taking care of as we travel, as pet sitters, horses, donkeys, all of it, dogs, cats, chickens, pigs, all of it, donkeys, all of it. What, like you could turn on a vacuum cleaner and a dog freaks out.
Oh, yes.
It could be, I mean, you could have a disaster. So we're very much like, what are the words? What are the communication words? What are things we should know if they do something? Like if some dogs growl and they really don't mean much, some dogs growl and they're going to bite your hand off, really. So there's, and especially with what we do is a lot of Every animal is different, and it doesn't always mean from a rescue point of view. And I know we can talk about that with horses at some point with you, but which is a difficult thing to for people to have. But it's you have to know if you're the caretaker of these animals, how are they? Do if you touch them here, are they going to freak out? Or
Well, that's why you want to you need to observe and know your horse's behavior. And horse's behavior is going to be consistent. They don't try to think outside the box. They are going to do the same thing every day that they've always done because they're comfortable. That's what they do. Horses like routine. So knowing that behavior ahead of time before you go to a boarding stable, or knowing that behavior if the horse is on the property with you, we just talked about that. It's real important to take enough time to observe them, even in their everyday routine. Watch how they eat. Do they eat? How long do they eat? Do they eat for 20 minutes and then walk away and take a nap? That's going to panic someone if they don't realize that's the horse's normal routine and their normal behavior. I have one horse that walks away, and she'll gorge herself for 20 minutes, goes over and finds a nice warm sunny spot and takes a sun bath, and loves to lie down for a little while. Horses are also grazers, so they don't sit down and eat a full meal. Excuse me, they'll eat a little bit, walk away, and then come back again. So that's behavior you need to know. You need to let the boarding stable know that, and you need to observe that. Even if you have your horses at home and you have excuse me, a caregiver come in while you're on vacation, you need to write all this down so people will know the normal behavior.
So everyone, it's really about building that bond. That's another B
Another
word.
B
Aren't we
word.
good at that? And so next week we get the C word, and we're going to be chatting with Christy again, of course, right? The ABCs of horses, and Christy's name begins with a C. So next week is going to be an extra special episode. So everyone, stay tuned for that. Always fun with Christy. I encourage you to go to her website, wdnhorse.com. She works with folks as a judge. She works as a trainer. She also helps in court cases. Like she can help and be like a witness kind of. What is it a what
It's
would you
called
say?
an
An expert?
expert witness in equine
In
situations.
court cases. Yep. And if you're purchasing a horse, you can contact her, and that could be from anywhere across the country or even the world, because she can watch things on Zoom and see and watch videos and things like that. So keep up with Christy at WDN horse, so woodenhorse.com, because it's Christy Wood. And of course, her books are all on there as well. So thank you so much, Christy. We're going to let your voice take a break.
Thank you, Lisa. Everyone, have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's ABCs of Horses featuring Christy Wood. You can keep up with Christy and learn more about her services and her books by going to her website, wdnhorse.com. Keep up with Big Blend Radio at bigblendradio.com.